Lecture 20. So we've talked about a few analytical methods. We're now on to how to calibrate our analytical instrumentation. When we're doing calibration, so far we've looked at calibrating using a standard curve. As an example, we're now going to go through lots more terminology in terms of calibrating. So first thing is we need to run standards through our instrument when we're calibrating it. Typically we'll use a thing called a continuing calibration standard, which will run through then at the beginning of a series of analyses and then every 10 samples in between to ensure that we don't get any drift in terms of the concentration of the analyte of interest from when we start a series and when we end. Now, when you guys are carrying out analyses in the lab, like you might get through two or three analyses in a practice session. Up on my GC, the auto sampler takes 40 sampler vials. I think the next one takes 120 vials. So quite commonly in these things, in a proper lab, they'll have auto samplers that do several hundred samples in a batch. So you need to make sure then from when you start and you've carefully calibrated your machine to the end of that 200 samples, there's been no drift in terms of the instrument response. So using a continuing calibration standard is one part of that. The other thing we need to do is ensure that the actual machine is calibrated correctly at the start, and to do that we use a commercial quality control standard. That one will be run right at the beginning of the batch and right at the end of the batch, so we're going to pay quite a lot of money for the commercial quality control standard. This is our calibration verification standard. The continuing calibration standard, you'll make that one up yourself. We need a blank thrown in there. This one's quite important because we need to make sure that no matter what, every time we run an analyte-free sample of the matrix, we always get a zero. Because if we get any analyte appearing in our blank, then we know we've got some carryover from one sample to the next. Now going through the methods of calibration themselves, the first method then involves external calibration, and that's what we've done, using a calibration curve where we span the range of analyte concentrations that we're expecting to find in our sample run of interest. At least five concentrations will be used, sometimes more, and the method that we've seen so far is using colorimetry.